Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
All right. So, as I said, my face. Who's here has ever been sunburned before? Anyone ever been sunburned? All right. There are a couple chosen that have never been sunburned. God bless you. I need an impartation. So just keep me in prayer as I preach. My face is lit up at the moment. So it is great to be back with you guys. I heard that last Sunday went really well with Pastor Tom sharing his testimony. I know the live stream had a little bit of a kink. So if you missed it, he has a book. And that's not a joke. He actually does have a book. So when his book comes out, you can read about his testimony. But I heard it went really well last week. And the podcast is up. Fantastic. So you can catch it on our website. But about a month ago, Pastor Natalie came to me and she was like, I have an entire vision for Mother's Day. Now, mind you, we hadn't had Easter yet. And I was like, well, what do we do for Easter? She's like, I have no idea, but I got Mother's Day handled. And I was like, well, that's wonderful, but I'm stressing about Easter. So we had a great Easter, thank God. But everything that you see here set up from the keys to the flowers to the back wall was Pastor Natalie and Leah as well helped. And then, of course, the whole parfait thing out there with yogurt or whatever that was also really good. So we do want to invite you at the back when you leave today, take a moment because we'll leave this up for next Sunday. Write down one thing that your mom or a mother figure left you as a legacy and one thing that you would like to give the next generation. And that's not just for moms, all right? So anybody here, what is a legacy you want to leave the next generation? Because that's what we're talking about and celebrating today is the legacy moms leave us. But I know that for moms, for some of us today, Mother's Day is like the best day ever. Some of us, it's a hard day. And so I wanted to just read a couple different Bible heroes that had different experiences with moms or kids. So like Eve, today you might have children with some serious rivalry. Like Naomi, you may have lost a child. Like Hagar, you might be mothering alone or in a season you didn't expect. Like Hannah, you might have a child that took years to conceive or are still in that waiting time. Like Mary, you might have had a complicated pregnancy story. Like Joseph and Benjamin, you might have experienced the death of your mother. And if you read the Bible, there are many others, but we want to bless you wherever you fall in those storylines today. And we want to honor your story. You are not alone. You're not alone in this community, even if we don't talk about it all the time, but you're also not alone in the Bible. And I want to encourage you, if today is a hard day, get into the scripture. Find a Bible hero that has been through what you've been through, even if you got to Google it. Google's great when you got to find someone in the Bible to relate to. And dive into that scripture today so you're not alone today. So we want to honor you in that. But today, Caleb and I are actually going to talk for just a second, because believe it or not, supposedly church is supposed to end in 10 minutes because we had so much fun. So this is going to be a little like the Cliff Notes. Are you all ready for the Cliff Notes? Okay, we're going to do the Cliff Notes. But we're going to talk about a woman in the Bible today that actually wasn't a physical mother. And when I was praying about what to talk about today, I got really confused. I kept hearing Esther. And I couldn't shake it. I just was like, well, we've got to talk about Esther. And Esther wasn't a physical mom. We don't know of any record of her having kids. You can look at the historical facts, and some think that she did have a child, but we won't get into that. But she was a spiritual mother that saved an entire generation of God's children. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So Pastor Caleb's going to start out here. We're going to have to do Cliff Notes, bro, but we can do a Cliff Note here. He's going to be our history buff. Who knows that Caleb's a history buff? Has anyone had the honor of asking him a question? I call this man up this week, and I say, hey, you want to talk about Esther? And without even pausing, after mowing the lawn all day and doing his work all day, he says, Esther. So Esther was in the province of Persia that had 127 provinces under this and this. And I was like, whoa, I just asked you if you wanted to talk about it. I didn't ask for a history lesson. So, hey, if you have a Bible question, come to this man with any history questions. So take it away.
Okay, so to do the Cliff Note version and to go a little faster than we intended, but to get the what I believe is one of the most important things about Esther, and I came up with this when we were talking the other day. She's one of the most improbable people
to be a biblical hero. And I think sometimes, and as I was thinking about that, some mothers in here, probably all of us, or all the mothers in here, it's almost, sometimes it feels like it was improbable that you were a mother. It's like, oh man, that could, it's like something that you probably dreamed of since you were a young woman or young girl, you know, like one day I'm going to grow up, I'm going to be a mother, I'm going to be an awesome wife, and all these things. But as life goes on, sometimes it thinks, oh, that dream is just so far away and it could be so improbable. But when we look at the life of Esther, we find an improbable person being used by God in a powerful way. Even the book of Esther is improbable. You want to know why? Because this book was almost not canonized. It was almost not put in the Bible. They were talk about it because God's name is not mentioned in Esther. You can see his, the evidence of God all the way through the book of Esther, from the very beginning to the very end. But they don't mention his name. So there was talk about it when they were putting the Bible together. We should do this. They did put it in there, obviously, because when they argued of it, they could see the evidence of God all the way from the beginning. Now, a little bit of the history. So Esther, or Hadassah as her Jewish name was an exiled Jewish woman. Her ancestors were brought out of Jerusalem when it was... Coffee bean brought up. When the Jews were exiled, when Nebuchadnezzar took it, her ancestors were brought to Babylon and Persia, and she's a few generations removed. So she's a part of an exiled group, and how do I want to put this? So to make it. Thank you, God. She's part of an exiled group of people who have lost connection to their homeland. And, but God still has a promise to bring his people back. He had promised that. And this is generations removed, like I was saying. Oh, hold on, God is doing something. I know this happens. It's kind of weird when I start losing track. God is doing something in the room. Who? Wendy. Ooh, I knew it when I looked at you. The story of Esther is powerful, improbable of what she was without God in her life, behind the scenes, doing what he was in a powerful way. He too is working in your life in a powerful and amazing way. Even when it doesn't seem like he is, and he is strong with you and in you, and he's got a purpose for what he's doing. Don't ever forget that. Okay, now I'm back on. Okay, like I said, it's an improbable situation. Esther is in an exiled group of Jewish people in Persia. There is a queen, Vashti, who is the queen at the time, and she was supposed to come before the king, and she refused. And because she refused, the king had to not be with her anymore, so they had to search for another person. And out of all the people, God, he chooses Esther, who was an exiled group, a very small group of people, out of the whole place, out of all the area that Persia was at the time, and that goes from Ethiopia to modern-day India, this huge area of, you know, all this. So of all the women that could have been chosen, Esther, from the same city that he was in, was chosen by him. And, wow. Can you take it just for a second?
Yeah, go for it. So she's chosen, and my legacy that God was showing me from Esther was one yes to God changes everything. So just say yes. Something just changed. Isn't that awesome? So you say one yes to God. You may never know what changed, but one yes to God, it can change everything. Even like Caleb just paused and got to prophetically encourage Wendy. One yes to God, if it's awkward, if it's messy, if it looks great, whatever it looks like can change everything. And I love Esther's legacy. She was abandoned and orphaned, right? Her earthly parents were dead. She was unqualified and invisible. She was in the wrong life season to save a bunch of kids, right? She wasn't a mom yet. She wore a mask. No, she was not wearing a physical mask, right? But she couldn't tell anyone she was Jewish. She was alone and she was a victim, right? If you've seen the Hollywoodized version of Esther, it's like Esther, and she's like this beautiful queen and she gets chosen by the king and you gotta like skip a scene and all this stuff, right? But in reality, she was actually a victim because after she went to the king, she was put in a harem and that was it. Like she was there for the rest of her life if the king never called her back. She was actually a victim, you could say, even to her government. And even her sexuality had been taken from her in a certain sense. And so I want to speak to anyone today who feels like a victim, who feels unqualified, who feels abandoned or orphaned or invisible or in the wrong life season or like you have to hide where you came from. Because the legacy of Esther is that she was obedient and she gave God her yes, even though her past was crying out that she should say no, because she should just try to survive, just try to get by, and that her future was locked away and it was controlled by somebody else. And so what I love about the story is that Esther isn't defined by her abandonment or her being an orphan or being unqualified. The entire story of Esther starts, especially in the kids' books, right, when she says yes to God and it says, "You were born for such a time as this." Right? No one puts on a t-shirt, "I was abandoned and orphaned," right? That's not a t-shirt no one wants to wear. But why is that? That's because when we say yes to God, Esther's legacy is saying yes to God, and that is what defines our legacy. So I want to encourage you this morning, if you're feeling like you've been abandoned or you are dealing with rejection or you're dealing with being a victim or whatever it is that you're facing, that's not your legacy. No matter if, even if you think it is, but your obedience to God, your little yeses, your big yeses to God are what change everything. And I love it in, James 4, it says, "Submit yourself then to God and resist the devil and he will flee from you." I love the word submit, it means obey, but I like the word flee even better because it means escape. So this isn't like I'm obeying God and the devil's like fleeing away, right? This isn't that at all. This is obeying God and the devil's like escaping. He's trying to escape. Have you ever felt like you're trying to escape the devil? Anybody? Come on, let's be real here. I got sunburned this week and I was like, I am just trying to escape the sun. Like I went outside today and I was like, nope, wait, I'm escaping. Well, we weren't meant to escape the devil. The devil is trying to escape us when we obey God. And that's the legacy of Esther, right? So when you feel like you're trying to escape the devil, stop and ask God, "God, where do I need to obey you?" Because when we obey, when we give God our yes, when we walk in the legacy of Esther, the enemy will escape. Just like Haman was killed the very way he had set up to kill Mordecai, right, in the story of Esther. If you haven't read the story of Esther, just go read it. It's actually a whole book, so you can just read the book afterwards to get the details. But the way that Haman was killed was the way he was trying to kill Mordecai. And when we obey God, the very plans of the enemy to kill us end up turning on their face and killing the enemy. And someone in this room needs to hear that this morning. I love this story in Genesis. It says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." And that's about Joseph, but that could be about Esther. That could be about you today. What God meant for harm, what the enemy meant for harm, God will turn for good when we say yes to him. And that is the legacy of Esther. Amen. Number three was recognizing the time and the opportunity. And Pastor Caleb, you had talked about this yesterday, about Esther carrying that legacy of realizing now is her time. Do you want to share for just a second more, or how are you feeling? Good. You good? Do you want to do it again for a second? Or are you good? Not. Go for it.
the opportunity, the time. Mordecai saw what was going to happen because he found out Haman's plan to kill all the Jews from all over, all the provinces of Persia. He found this out, and he went to Esther's people, and he said to them, go tell her about what's going to happen. And this is where we get the famous the verse there. He says in chapter 4, for if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained this royalty for such a time as this. We got to realize the opportunity that God has on our lives. And it's for such a time as this that God has called you to this place, wherever you're at. It may not be as big as saving a whole generation of people or a whole race of people. But even just being faithful to what God has for the call on your life, especially as mothers, you have no idea the impact you have on your children sometimes, because it's the things that you do that they see that you don't even know that you're being watched that impacts that child for the rest of their lives. It's the simple things, whether it's praying for them, and they hear it in the night, how their name comes up as you're praying. Amen. Don't give up. That was one of the things. When Esther went before the king, it was such a powerful thing, because if she did and she wasn't called to the king, she should have been killed because she wasn't asked to be in his presence. She knew it was a powerful time. She knew the opportunity she had. And for us too, we have to know the opportunity that we have to impact people's lives.
Amen. Amen. That's really good, Caleb. The last point is of Esther's legacy. You don't have to be a physical mom or dad to be a spiritual one. I want to say that again. You don't have to be a physical mom or dad to be a spiritual one. And just prophetically, as a church, where I see Thrive headed, we're going to need all the moms and dads on duty, right? Can we just say I'm signing up? Can we do like one of those drafts, right? I'm drafting you all, right? I don't care if you're young or you're old, but please, if you're older, we need you. We need you so much, because there are people coming in. There are the lost coming in. There are the broken coming in. There are families coming in. And we need the older generation just as much as we need the younger generation. And I love Esther's legacy of this, because God wants to do something supernatural through you that you can't see naturally. Like, Esther wasn't qualified to save God's children. Wouldn't it have been better if, like, there was some, like, big warrior, or, like, one of David's mighty men? Let's just, like, wipe out Haman, right? Let's just take him out. But God's much more creative than that. He's much more graceful and strategic. And God wants you to know that part of Esther's legacy is there's strategy from heaven when we go to God and get God's plans. Like, you might just want to take somebody out, but God might want to save them, right? Wait a minute, right? And so how often do we disqualify ourselves from the work of God because we think according to earth standards, we don't meet the bill, right? And so I love this scripture in Isaiah. It says, behold, I am about to do something new. Everyone say something new. Even now, it is delayed. Is that what it says? No. Even now it is coming. Everyone say coming. Do you not see it? Indeed, I will make a way in the wilderness and streams in the desert. We always want revival to come. We always want awakening to come. We always want the lost to be saved. And then we read how God does it, and he's like, I'm making a way in the wilderness and I'm making streams in the desert. We're all standing in the desert wondering why we're in the desert. And God's saying, well, you're in the desert because I want to do something new. So if you're in a situation today that feels like a desert and you're wondering how you got there, God is saying, I want to do something new. I want to do something new. I don't want to go backwards with you. I want to do something new in you. God is all about defying the odds. And so Esther's legacy is a legacy that will not be silent. It won't retreat. It won't be intimidated. Her legacy is of radical obedience. And we are called to do the same. It's the legacy of somebody saying, this generation will not be given over to death. And that is a call on our church to look out and see the generation around us. And I'm not just talking about the younger generation, although I am very much speaking about that. But when I say generation, it's all of us. If you're alive and got a heartbeat, you're part of our generation. We will not give it over to death. We will go before our King. We will ask for mercy. We will get his strategy for victory. And then we will be brave and go out and be spiritual mothers and fathers to save a dying generation. So stand on your feet with me as we close here. It doesn't matter if you have kids that are grown or little, you've never had kids, you've wanted kids, you're terrified of having kids, you're married, you're single, you're widowed, you're divorced, you're young or you're old. None of that matters to God because none of that defined Esther's capability to save a generation that was destined for death. It was her obedience. It was her seizing the opportunity, just like Pastor Caleb said. And it was her knowing her identity in Christ or in God as a Jewish person, right? And so God wants to speak that out over you today. Revelation 12 says, they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. We share that every month. But it then says, they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Now, when I read that, I'm like, oh, you've got like the martyr, right? They don't love their life as much as to shrink from death. So like you might get shot for Christ or you might get put in prison. And I don't know why, but somehow that's like, well, honestly, it feels so far away from our culture right now that I'm like, okay, that would be heroic, right? But when I looked up the word death, it means danger of death or a pestilence. In other words, it means they didn't shrink back from pestilence. They didn't shrink back from what was contagious. And I'm not talking about something medical here, just to clarify. I'm talking about a culture that is dying and that has questions and it's messy and it's chaotic. And when you get close to it, sometimes it gets on you a little bit and you got to figure out, wait a minute, what am I doing here? And God is saying he doesn't want us to shrink back from the generation around us. He wants our church, he wants you, if you're here this morning, he wants to call you up as a spiritual mom or dad. And I want to get real practical as we end, because I know we're all standing together. I just thought if I was standing here, you could stand with me. I hope that's okay. But God is raising up Esthers to speak encouragement to each other, right? So when you see the youth walking around or the kids walking around, it's actually your job as a mother or father in this place to speak life over them, to be the biggest cheerleaders in their life in this place. You might pray over them. You might just compliment them. You might speak prophetic identity. If you don't know what the prophetic is, it just means you're asking God, God, how do you see that person? And you speak and you bless it. It's always, we're speaking positive over each other, right? To draw out the gold in each other. But it's our job as mothers and fathers in this place to speak that out over the younger generation and to speak that out over each other. And that's what being a spiritual mother or father is. It doesn't mean we don't need to get all heady about it or like weird about being a spiritual mother or father. It just means we're taking our identity in Christ and we're saying, I will not see this generation be destined for death. I will speak life. Amen. So Jesus, I just thank you this morning for the call of Esther and the legacy of Esther, God. We're a church that's not intimidated by the culture around us. We're not intimidated by poverty, by hopelessness, God, by whatever assignments the enemy thinks are in play, just like Haman thought he had a strategy. God, we're not intimidated when prayers are answered in ways that we didn't think they would be answered. We're not intimidated by anything around us because we know you are our King, and we can walk in the legacy of Esther, whether we're a man or a woman here this morning. And so I actually want to do a call here. I want to do an altar call, not up to the front. But if you want to say yes to being an Esther for this generation, and no, we are not at a women's conference, but all of us ladies get to hear about being Davids all day long. So all you men get to be an Esther today, okay? It's all right. We'll go back to David next week. But if you want to be an Esther today, if you want to say yes, if you want to say yes to God, it might be a little yes. You might not know when that yes is going to actually play out in your life. But if you want to say yes and you want to say, I want to be somebody who calls out life and speaks life over the next generation. It might be your own child. It might be a friend that's your age. It might be someone older or younger than you. But God is saying, will you be my Esther? Will you say, I was born for such a time as this? I won't let deliverance for the Finger Lakes. I won't let deliverance for Cortland and Tompkins go to just somebody else. I'm going to say yes. I'm going to be an Esther. I want you to actually just raise your hand this morning. And we don't normally do stuff like this, but I just believe that God is saying, I want to raise up an Esther generation out of Thrive to help people grow and mature in Jesus, to invite people to forget dead religion, experience God, and thrive in Jesus from the young to the old. But it only comes when we say yes to being mothers and fathers in the spiritual realm. It looks like praying and interceding. It looks like calling out the gold. It might even look like showing up to a sports game or to a play of a kid in the church. It might look like having coffee with someone your own age and speaking life over them. It doesn't matter what it looks like, but God, we say yes. So just say yes to God this morning. Just speak that out. We say yes, God. We say yes, yes, yes to being an Esther generation, God, to saving the lost generation, not on our watch, God. We were born for such a time as this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So let's live out that Esther legacy this week. Don't be intimidated by what you're around if it's not something that feels like it's building you up. Instead, look to God and say, God, where do I need to obey you so that the enemy can escape instead of me trying to feel like I need to escape? Amen? So write down your legacy on that back wall, whether you're a guy or a girl, young or old, doesn't matter. Let's fill that wall with honor for our moms or mom figures in our lives. Say hi to somebody. Take a flower, give it to a stranger, make them smile, invite them to church next week, and let's help people thrive. Be a witness. Amen? All right. Bless you.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.